I've got to reorganize this dashboard video screen. Okay, change layout. We want to put the big pane over on the right side and the two smaller panes on the left. Flipping it from how it was. Oh, that's way better. Oh, that's way better. I'm feeling good this morning, which is unfortunate because I'm about to get on a freeway and it's raining and the traffic will probably be bad and that's going to suck the fucking life out of me. Last night the traffic was so bad, I pulled over and got off the road and went to the container store and bought containers. like, well, I'll kill some fucking time. Like, it's not like the traffic's going to be any better when I leave, but I just need a break from this. So I bought a few more DVD cases as I'm ripping my DVD collection and moving it off of shelves and into my garage next to my tea collection. I needed a little more room for that stuff, so bought some DVD containers. I moved my DVD shelf out of the living room and into my office room, which is cool. It looks a lot better than I thought it would. And now I've got then I moved all my PS4 games off of a shelf in a different room onto those shelves, even though I almost never use any disc-based PS4 games. I was like, well, I gotta put something on these shelves, other than like the 30 or 40 DVDs that are still sitting there that I haven't dealt with. I was like, I don't know, I got these Transformers over here. I'll put them on top of this shelf, I guess. Why not? I'm definitely going with WMVs and RMs. I'm into high-quality rips. Lately I've been doing a 265 at a quality of somewhere around 22, I believe. I bought every episode of Speed Racer on Blu-ray not that long ago, and I was like, oh, this would be nice to have, like, elsewhere on my phone or whatever, so I started going through the process the way I always do it, and the episode spit out the other end at about 900 megs, and I was like, that seems fucking way too big. And it turns out the source material, you know, this old ass Speed Racer episode, is incredibly noisy. There's just a lot of like a film grain, you know, like there's a lot of grain to it. And I was like, oh, I guess that's why they have like these denoise filters and all this other stuff. So I redid it with a very light denoise on it, which brought it down to about 500 megs. But also, it takes fucking like 8 hours or, you know, 5 hours or something to encode one episode. I'm like, all right, this is, what am I doing? Maybe I just keep this Blu-ray out. Maybe I just set this one on a shelf. Traffic right here is earlier than it normally starts, and worse than it normally is. But I see cop lights up there, so hopefully this is just like a thing right here. And not like this for a good long time. right, I took a glance at my phone, and there's a Google Voice voicemail here that the transcription showed up on that I should probably just play. No waves, penthouse games, my rules.
Hi, this is David with SearchEngineStartup.com, and we just received the information for your new website, and it does look like your website is now ready to be listed in the local and national search results, so you'll need to grab a pen, as the following message includes important information for listing your website. You have been issued a temporary promo code in order to have your website properly listed in the local and national search results. Your promo code is valid through this Friday and waives the setup fees. To use your promo code and ensure your website's proper listing, you'll need to go to www.searchenginestartup.com. Select from the local or national listing, and then enter your promo code 4171 to complete your registration. Again, that's www.searchenginestartup.com. Select the local or national listing, then enter your promo code 4171 to waive the setup fees and complete your registration. The process takes less than 5 minutes to complete, and it will ensure an increase in the visibility of your website. Congratulations on your new website,
and we
look forward to receiving your registration and serving you. SearchEngineStartup.com is not affiliated directly or indirectly with any other website, hosting, or marketing companies.
Don't steal my promo code!
I called you through Facebook. My name is Josh. Bye-bye.
If you manage to snap a photo of a girl, panties, you'll unlock a special achievement. Every single girl, panties, has its own achievement. So get those cameras ready and see if you can collect them all.
Well.
Car. It's a lot of money. Calling. I'm calling for Claire or Paul. This is in reference to Carolyn. If you can give us a call back here, mm-hmm. This is Kaiser Special Procedures. Our number here is
6-5-1-1-1. I'm not sure if this is the voicemail for Robert Didler. This is, or Didier. This is Michael calling from BG&E Service Planning in regards to application on 1130 Monticello Road in Napa. Wanted to speak with you in regards to the conversion of your service cable. Please give me a call at your early convenience number to reach me, 707.
Yeah, no, it's getting the service cable converted, you know what I'm saying? Strange. My number at home, my landline that I converted into a Voiber, gets even worse stuff. It gets all like the, I wonder if the app works. I'm in a weird, like, there's a pocket here for cell service that I feel like cropped up recently, or maybe it's just because I've been lingering on this stretch of road a little longer, I've been noticing it more. This little bit of the freeway here just sucks, and this happens to be where I'm trying to listen to these voicemails, and people just, yes, people do just suck. It's true. It just does not want to actually play this. Later when I'm somewhere where there's signal again. It's very strange. Yeah, I get a lot of the full-on, like, this is the fraud department calling you about your credit card. Please call us back. Or, your computer has deadly viruses, murderous. Please call us. Or, this is us legally notifying you of fraud. Call back. Or, one of them was like, basically saying, like, if you don't push one now, we wish you the best of luck. You know, kind of implying that, like, you're just fucked on tax fraud or, you know, whatever the fuck they were claiming you had done. But yeah, I don't know, I love listening to those fucking shit-ass robots, and it's why I deliberately have super short voicemail messages, like outgoing greetings, is because then it just clicks over to, well, I guess like that tricks people, so I get a lot of voicemails that are just like people that you hear in a boiler room you hear the crowd of people in the background scamming people. And you hear him go, hello, I'd like to speak to a Mr. Jarstai man. Hello? 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 Okay, thank you for your time very much. It's like, yeah, it's weird. Sucks.
What's the point?
What happened?
Suspicious activities in your iCloud account, that your iCloud account has been breached. Before using any Apple device, please contact the Apple Support Advisor. Press 1. To connect with Apple Support Advisor, press 2. To listen to this message again. Or if you wish to contact us later, please call us on our toll-free number, 747-212-5913. Thank you.
I got that message 4 times in a row one day.
Hotels. We would like to inform you that because you have stayed at one of our properties,
Your telephone number was qualified by our booking system to receive an all-inclusive complimentary stay.
Ooh.
For further details, press 1 now.
Oh.
To be placed on the Do Not Call list, press 2 now.
My iCloud account has been breached. We're doomed.
Looking to speak with.
Acknowledge that you are a human answering this line and get 10 times as many calls, please press 2 now. Get your phone as a data-only device, like, you know, hook your phone up like it was a tablet and not have a working phone number. Would you do it? Because of all the other voice chat options and voice call options and phone-like options that you could install as apps. I feel like there's no reason to have a phone anymore. Like a phone-ass phone, you know? Because all you get is calls like that. I'm 1 mile away from the spot where the traffic usually ends. Usually. Which I assume means it will definitely not. Yep, here I am, past the part where the traffic normally lets up, and it's still, I mean, it's like slightly better, but still bad. getting right back to speed as we pass the sign that says flooding ahead, use caution. Hell yeah.
It ain't no deep meaning behind the name. It was a thing where, like, in the D, Detroit, you know, at the time, everybody had kind of crazy, somewhat names. And at the time, I was like, what, 15, 14 when I made the name? For whatever reason, I just never changed it. You know what I'm saying? So it just stuck. And everybody around the city just.
Big name.
Yeah, it was just one of them names. Like, it wasn't nothing, like, crazy. You know, deep about where the name came from, no shit, like no comic book, no crazy, like, it was just a nickname, man, so it stuck. I was gonna change it at one point, but then somebody told me, like, nah, just keep it, because it make people, like, whether they love it or hate it, it grab people's attention.
But that was when the chicks don't too, like, they don't know who you are, you're like, that nigga named Keith,
look at that, black belt. Nigga, that sound like somebody's auntie, right?
Yeah, that black belt. Motherfucker might get some horny ass chicks. Think about it.
Maybe. It might work like that.
Right, you know, that
thing named
Heimdall.
Yeah, Heimdall.
Yeah, nah.
Nah, yeah, black. Everybody call me black, though, man, so.
Not black. Your first sampler that you ever brought.
I'm pushing door. I thought you punch something in the auto. I tap you door, I'll take your bro home in the harbor. It's good I can rap. You don't catch bullets to your back. If they can't see me, I put my foot in their ass. What if I put your own feet in your clap? Like some applause, I can't afford me less. I'm too strong, niggas are getting a part of the fall. The heat, who wanna start some beef? They catch a hot one and they meet. Turn the saddle like a caveman. With the gun blazing, execution style. Raised on the pavement. I never make it, but I'll be dead so well, incarcerated. I'm too slick, FBI sucker, dead niggas under my fan plus, your daughter's my bitch. Real niggas rhyming up in this spot, I know y'all niggas want it, what up,
take that nigga!
I know my bitches want it, what up,
take that nigga!
Dope producing, you had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
I'm expressing with my full capability, and now I'm living in correctional facilities. Cause I'm done it.
Saint Lunatics, you know what I'm saying? These guys are dope.
Other girls wrestling wise, to no fault of her own, I just don't think she's getting the reps that are necessary to hang with a Natty, a Charlotte, an Asuka, or any of the other girls that have been wrestling consistently. Does that sound logical, Dave?
No, it sounds completely honest. She just doesn't fit in.
Yeah, I mean, she just doesn't have the reps. It's just like, if you're asking somebody to come off the bench as a designated hitter, that most of the times you're going to strike out. Yeah, maybe they will hit a home run, not likely, but for Carmella, if they were to write her in and put her in a scenario where she cashed in and won the women's championship, or they were to push her or do something great with her, I wish her nothing but the best. but she's going to have to really get in there and work on her wrestling game, because they haven't been putting in her in scenarios where she's been wrestling enough.
Now, you mentioned other strong matches on last night's show. We also got a rematch of Nakamura and Rusev last night.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, man, I'm a Rusev guy. And I've been a Rusev guy from day one. And it, to me, the guy has so much. I've never gotten it with Nakamura in the WWE. I still don't get it. I'm not talking about Nakamura the wrestler in general, because Nakamura the wrestler in general, I totally get. The New Japan version of Nakamura, I totally get him. I understand him. I enjoy him. The WWE version of him, it just doesn't click with me. It's like, to me, it comes across very odd. I don't know what other word. I'm trying to be polite as possible with him because I like him, but odd and corny at times.
Yeah, and it's hard. And Nakamura is fantastic. You're absolutely right. It's just that fitting into the WWE mold that just doesn't seem to be a good fit. It's almost like, you know, a square peg in a round hole. Just right now, it's not clicking, but at the same time, he's in a main event match at WrestleMania with AJ Styles going for the championship.
He's in the main event match against AJ. That's WWE placating to a certain fan base. They're placating to the New Japan fan that also likes WWE. They're placating to the New Japan fan who may not like WWE and won't watch WWE, but because Nakamura is on the card, now they will watch. AJ versus Nakamura will be that type of match that all of the wrestling fans around the world who don't typically watch the WWE would like to see. The New Japan fan, the Ring of Honor fan, the Dragon Gates, the PWG, all of those type of wrestling fans are going to be salivating for Nakamura versus AJ. And if given the right amount of time, those two guys are going to have a fantastic match. But when it's all said and done, Dave, when you take away the great wrestling match, what do you have left with Nakamura?
Not a lot, and it's going to be really interesting what happens once we get past WrestleMania 34.
Like, at the end of the night last night, when he was making that eye contact with AJ, and he was smiling and doing his gyrations and his hand gestures, as a fan watching, I felt uncomfortable. I was like, I didn't know what the guy was doing. He almost looked like you remember the movie the Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yes, I do.
You know, he was contorting in a way where I thought he was possessed by the devil.
Yeah, and he did a little of that in New Japan. He had the entrance. He did a lot of the gyrations. But that was my fear when he came to the main roster in the WWE, that it was going to be a little bit overload when it came to that. And that seems to be happening right now.
And I'm gonna say this again, because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I am not hating on Nakamura. I am a fan of his wrestling. I'm just not a fan of his character in WWE. There is a big, big difference. So don't go out there and start twisting things around. Otherwise, I will verbally incinerate you.
Nah, we don't do that here on What's It Open. But you can do anything you want on your own time. Really quick, though, I did want to talk about this match before we get back to the phones. And it was a sloppy match, it seemed to me, and that's Ty Dillinger and Baron Corbin from last night.
I actually disagree, except for the finish. I thought that they were doing a good job up until the finish. I thought Ty Dillinger was having a good outing last night, making Baron Corbin look good. I thought their stuff was solid, but then they got to the finish and things got wonky, and as Vince McMahon taught me and has taught a lot of wrestlers over the years, the only thing they're going to remember is the finish. And that's what they have to remember from last night. Not good.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I just said that the match was sloppy and you corrected me, and you're right. It wasn't a bad match until we got to the end, but that's what I remember. So when you're asking me about matches from last night, I'm going to remember that being sloppy, though it probably wasn't sloppy until the end.
I was watching the show, and I saw Ty Dillinger come out, and I said, and this is what was going through my mind. I'm like, all right, good. They're going to give this kid a shot. They don't give him a lot of opportunities. I know he's not going to win, but maybe he will be able to get over in the midst of getting Corbin over. So when they first started going at it, all of this stuff looked really crisp. Everything that they were doing was there. Ty was hanging with Corbin. It was going really well until they got to the finish. Something got a little weird. They weren't able to hit the finish perfectly the first time. They came back in the ring. They were able to get to it. Here's the thing, and this only comes with experience. Corbin should have never thrown Ty Dillinger outside of the ring. He should have just picked him up and hit his finish. There was no reason to throw him out of the ring and then throw him back in the ring just to hit your finish. If you screw something up in the ring, just go back and do it all over again. Sometimes mistakes happen. Everything can't be perfect all the time, especially in a wrestling match. So if something gets quote unquote botched, for lack of a better mark term, just go and hit your finish. If me and Devon on a rare occasion screwed up a 3D, we just picked you up and 3D'd you again.
Yeah,
so that's how you cover up a mistake.
And you know what? And it almost seemed like him doing that, it brought more attention that there was a mistake, and that it was almost like a reset. Let's do it again.
Correct. And that's just a little bit of inexperience on Corbin's part. Let that serve as a learning experience for him, so that if this situation ever happened again in the future, all Corbin has to do is pick the guy up, shoot him in for the short arm, hit his finish, boom, 1, 2, 3.
844-796-7874. Let's go out to the nation. Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Chris, what's going on?
Fellas, what's going on today? It's a good day for wrestling, if you ask me.
You got that right, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Willie, what you just said right there about the screwing up the finish and everything like that. You know, I remember watching that in the old school days, like the 70s, 80s, if you watch it on the WWE Network. If the finish... You go through the finish again. But he actually looks like he did it a little harder. And that, to me, that made it look a little bit more defined, and it made it look like, you know, he really put an exclamation point on it. So I agree with you on that one, and I also agree with you on the how they didn't send guys into the ring to get Daniel Bryan. I think that they should have sent some 205 Live guys or Ty Dillinger in to go get him. But I would have done it also after those guys got dispatched. I would have sent AJ and Shinsuke and then first string in to break up the fight, because to me that would make those guys look a little tougher and a little harder also, and that would have gotten a huge pop.
Hold on. How come they didn't even send any of the producers or agents? I mean, we've seen Finley before, or Michael, or even Devon. How come they didn't send a producer or an agent to help? How come there wasn't somebody who was willing to step in front of a bullet for him?
I'd like to think that there's some grand scheme to this whole thing, but in reality, it's got to be a hole in the production. It really had to be a hole in the writing. That's something that what happens when you get TV writers, not wrestling guys, doing things. You know, they're not going to.
Here's why I'm going to disagree with you, bro. Because the TV writers' ideas have to go through the wrestling guys, and I'm sure that was brought up. Listen, I'm pretty smart when it comes to this stuff, but there's a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me. That glaring hole was seen by other people. For some reason or another, it was shot down, that they didn't want anybody running in, or that hole was left open for another reason. Go ahead.
Yeah, then that intrigues me then, because then I'd like to see where this goes in the next 3 weeks. You know, if that's the case, then if that was an obvious hole and that wasn't a faux pas, then I'd like to see where this is going to go. But the fact of the matter, the fact remains, is we're talking about Daniel Bryan wrestling again.
Yeah.
And that's something to rejoice upon. And I thought that they were going to go easy on him a little bit just because he needs to get his workout in, and he probably should crawl before he walks a little. But then I got a Holova kick and an apron power bomb, so that went right out the window. And, you know, I'm just going to end this with one more thing. Seth Rollins had a tweet yesterday that really made me think. And it wasn't even much about Daniel Bryan. It was congratulating Daniel Bryan and everything. But with Daniel Bryan coming back, from a guy who was having post-concussion seizures and post-concussion disorders and stuff like that, to wrestling again, tells me that they turned a corner with concussion medicine and treatment. And that is exciting on all levels. Because if wrestling was mandated by the NCAA, wrestling would be in the same guise as rugby and football and lacrosse. It's a collision sport. It's not even full contact. It's collision. And you always hear about football is in trouble because of all the concussion problems and everything like that. This tells me that they opened a window where there was a door that was closed and concussion treatment.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for the phone call. And maybe they have, Bully. I mean, you know, this is a good sign, what we're seeing with Daniel Bryan.
I don't think I'd be willing to totally agree with him on how far they've come with the medicine or the treatment or anything like that. Maybe Daniel Bryan's situation wasn't as severe as we thought it was. Maybe it's not wasn't the typical concussion stuff, like that major CTE stuff that we've been hearing about over the past 10 years, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Because if he was diagnosed, I guess you can't diagnose CTE until somebody passes away. But I don't know if they have detection processes for early onset of CTE. But if there was any type of, if any of those doctors had an inkling that he had the onset of CTE or was a case for it, I don't think anybody would have cleared him. I think this was more about the seizures and not the concussions. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think you're right. Definitely.
I'm not savvy to every little detail in the Daniel Bryan head trauma situation, but I think this is more about seizures dealing with his head than it is actual concussions.
And now that he's back, maybe he'll be more upfront about everything that was going on over the last year when it came to being cleared, the doctors that he saw, what exactly the problem was. I'm sure we're going to get more validation now that he's going to get back and step back into the ring.
Sure. And you know what? Even if I don't hear it, I don't care.
Yeah.
And it's
true.
It's not that big of a deal to me.
And you know what? As far as what Chris said about last night's show, you know, Daniel had me at... It could have been fine of him just coming out, making that speech, and him being back. But there's only 2 weeks away from WrestleMania. Two more SmackDowns before we get to WrestleMania. They had to have that ending because they have a storyline that they have to complete. And actually, they have a match that they have to set up.
Yeah, I'm still confused and perplexed by the lack of not one human being with a heart trying to help him out. We've seen lesser people be helped in the back than Daniel Bryan, and not one person came to his aid.
And like you said, it didn't even need to be a wrestler. It could have been Fit Finlay. It could have been a producer that came down to try to help out that situation, but no one came from the back. It's a great point by you, Bully. 844-796-7874. We'll get back to the Nation. Also, JBL live in studio in hour number three. We're back right here on Busted Open.
The global expansion of pro wrestling.
Or maybe his contract was up and he was going to quit and go wrestle somewhere else no matter what doctors told him. So the WWE said, well, if you're going to wrestle anywhere, we would rather it be here. So we're just going to put this paperwork in front of you that says we're all aware of what this is, and you're not going to come sue us. How do you get The Miz on the same show? I mean, they're going to do the draft thing again after WrestleMania. They've already kind of hinted at that. So they can set that up kind of whenever they want. Cars are sticking out the back of that tunnel. ass.
This is going to be a completely different type of reaction. This is going to be the return of the underdog reaction. Whether or not it'll be louder, I don't know. I'm going to tend to say no, because the first pop is normally the loudest one. This will be loud, but you as a fan who will be able to listen to both, and you'll be able to listen to this one live, call in the day after the show and let us know what you think. Well, what the hell? I'm
going to
be there. I'll let you know.
Yeah, Steven, so he can let us know at our post show on Sunday. So, yeah, Steven, listen, here's the thing, and thanks so much for calling. I mean, this is going to be exciting. I mean, whether you measure and it's the first one was bigger or what we're going to see, at WrestleMania 34 is going to be, it doesn't matter. It's going to be huge. And again, you look at this card, Bully, for what we're going to get at WrestleMania 34. This is one hell of a card, and we still don't know exactly what matches we're going to get at WrestleMania 34.
Got two more weeks to see how it plays out. And Dave, what I'm going to do for the nation is this. I'm going to try to watch WrestleMania live in the arena. I'm not going to watch it in the back on a monitor, because I want to be able to report on the show the day after of what it was like to be out there and what I felt from fans around me. So as long as they have us in a decent spot with my family and friends, I'll be reporting live from the floor of the Mercedes-Benz Arena.
Now, we actually spoke about, the possibility of Daniel Bryan coming back, when they would announce it, and we're asking. And one of the things that we brought up was ticket sales and what tickets were available. Now, I'm just going strictly by Ticketmaster. I know you could probably go to StubHub and get tickets and everything like that. But if you go to Ticketmaster right now, the only tickets that are really available are those floor tickets that are like, some of them are $1,000, some of them are up to $2,000. So there's very limited seats if you go to Ticketmaster. I'm sure if you go to StubHub, it's a different story. Either way, New Orleans, that Superdome, is going to be sold out at WrestleMania 34.
Yeah, we're at the time right now where the scalpers and buyers are playing that game. They're waiting it out, and then a couple of days beforehand, they see where the prices go. But all of those seats will be filled. I'm sure the place will be just as sold out as it was for WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, and this card's going to be awesome. 844-796-787.
The crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look, having read the
Dog, dog, dog. This way, took a test to become an MC, and our dreams became amazing. because there's nothing in the world that run no level like a cold chill at a party in the keyboard stand. And rock on the mic and make the girls wanna dance. Fly like a dove and come from up above. I'm not saying those are my things, cause it was love. I got a big long cat and I like to submit. And written right on the side and be dressed to kill. So if you see me cruising, girl, first come, first serve basis, cooling out, girl. I'm taking you to that place. One of a kind, and for your people to like, and for your sucker MC. This ain't right, because you're biting on your life, you're cheating on your wife. You're walking around town like a hula with a knife. You're hanging on the hat, you're chilling with the crew, and everybody knows what you've been through. Oh, with the 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. My man Larry Ladd, my name's DJ Run. We threw it into place with the highs and the bass. I'm rapping.
See you later. Have a good Wednesday. Please wiggle. Please. For Wednesday, for me.